You're listening to the Intercoastal Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Intercoastal Podcast. I'm Daquan Mickens, and for today's episode, we'll be talking with Joe O'Brien, the owner of Monkey's Uncle, a toy store in downtown Beaufort. How are you doing today, Joe?
Great, thanks. How about you, Daquan?
I'm doing good. It's good to get back right after the holidays, after Water Festival, and kind of get settled back in. And as August is right around the corner, we look forward to the summer slowly wrapping up, and we get into the fall and winter. And, you know, that's a great time here in Beaufort because the weather starts to get a lot less hot, and it gets more comfortable around here.
Yes, that's what I'm also looking forward to.
Yes. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, as you mentioned, I own a toy store that is it's located at 909 Bay Street, right in the middle of historic downtown Beaufort. My wife and I have had the business now. We just had our 10th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's it goes fast. Yeah. Time flies. You're having fun, I guess. So we live here in Beaufort. We've lived here since 2007, but my wife was born and raised here. So okay. We moved back when our kids were small, and they pretty much grew up here. So, and we've had Monkey's Uncle on Bay Street since 2013.
Okay. How was it for your family? You know, Beaufort's a family-oriented community. A lot of people who come and visit, they're always like, man, it feels like I'm welcomed. And that's, you know, part and thanks to you guys, because guests and visitors stop by your shops and stop by downtown, and they are like, man, everybody was welcoming, waved at us. So how was it, you know, raising a family in that atmosphere as a family community?
It's been great. It's really been, we've been very fortunate. And my wife, I run the store on a day-to-day basis. My wife has a job at a school that she works very hard at, but she participates when she's able to, or to the extent she wants to with the store. But when we started, our kids were obviously much younger than they are now. And, you know, Beaufort has been a great place. Her mom and dad still live here. They, you know, raised their children here, my wife and her brother, and they know a lot of people in the town. And it does, Beaufort really does have that small town feel where, as a parent, you know that even if you don't have a pair of eyes on your child, somebody else probably does.
Yeah.
So, and as we get older, you know, as we've raised our kids, we become a pair of those eyes for some other people's children. You know, we have a lot of regulars in the store, and it's just fun to watch the kids grow up. It can be scary how fast it goes, because we have customers now who are in college who shopped at the store when they were little. And it's very gratifying, humbling, but it's a you're right to say that Beaufort's a family town. A lot of our customers, especially in the summertime, are families who are visiting, and they tell us that we're one of the stops that they make on their trip to Beaufort. And it's something that the children look forward to, and hopefully the adults too. And we hear that a lot. I have some new employees starting this summer, and they have remarked to me how often they hear it as well from customers coming in. And that's what we hope to be. So it's very gratifying to hear that from the customers.
Yeah, that's good that you're not only making a mark on, you know, the kids' lives and memories, you're making marks on the families. So when they look back on these family trips, they'll be like, oh, I remember we stopped by Monkey's Uncle every year. And that was a huge part. So now when they're 25, 30, 45 years old, like, now your business is a part of their memory.
I hope so. It's funny to see as time passes that we, to the degree we've achieved that, it is just, it really makes us feel good. And we do work hard at trying to create that kind of atmosphere. You know, like anything else, it's work. You got to show up and do it every day.
Yeah.
We're open 7 days a week. And a lot of times there's a lot of people in the store. It's hot outside. We have a wide age range of our customers. So some of them are, you know, running around under the age of 2 years old. It can be very lively in there, but our focus is to keep it friendly, keep it fun, and just to welcome, you know, all kinds of families from literally all over the world. We have, Beaufort is such an interesting place in terms of it's like a crossroads for a variety of reasons, I guess, the military and retirees and the waterway, the coast. So we get all shapes and sizes, and it's great.
That's good. a little bit more about you and, you know, your business starting. So you said you've been in business for 10 years with Monkey's Uncle. What was your, you know, thought process behind starting a toy store when the idea first came to you?
Well, I've had an interesting work career in some ways, I guess. I've done a variety of things. My first job was on Hilton Head Island. I grew up in Kansas City area.
Okay.
And my first job out of college was on Hilton Head at the Island Packet in journalism, mm-hmm. working for the daily newspaper. So it's been a sort of circuitous route to what I'm doing now. I went back to school at one point. My wife and I were living in Chicago. I ended up going back to school and got a law degree and practiced law for a couple of years. And that turned out to be something I didn't see myself doing long term. Mm-hmm. So I got out of that and I was doing something. I was in the car business for a time, which was fun. And it was very time consuming, though. And we wanted to, you know, we had young children and wanted to build our work lives around, you know, family life,
yeah.
you know, try to put that first. So we, looking to stay in Beaufort and work and earn a living in Beaufort, we were trying to evaluate our options. And one that we kind of kept coming back to was to be in business for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we were lucky enough to just kind of find the right fit. I wouldn't describe it as something we had talked about for a long time in terms of toy store specific.
Yeah.
But it all happened pretty fast back in 2013. In retrospect, it was a good time for us. We were ready for it. And mm-hmm. we just kind of jumped into it with both feet. And our kids were young, but they were old enough to kind of be excited about what was going on and to contribute their opinions and their thoughts, as did their friends. So that was helpful. And it's been a fast 10 years to think that those decisions were being made.
Yeah, it probably feels like a long time to you, but it's not really that long ago. And for your kids, I'm sure, you know, at that time, they're probably super excited. Like if I was your kids, I'd be like, oh my goodness, I'm about to get every toy in the world at my fingertips. So was that your kids' thought process when you were telling them, hey, we're going to open this store, but you know, we just need your opinions.
Yeah. The kids were very excited when we got started and it was interesting to see their approaches. We have a son and a daughter. Our son is 2 years older than our daughter. And our son would come in and grab a book to read and find a comfy spot and settle in. Whereas our daughter would come in and hop up on the stool behind the register and want to know what was going on and what was getting delivered that day. So, but it was, you know, it's the family business idea is something that when you're doing it and you know, again, it's work and it's hard, but when it's going well, it can be very fun.
Yeah. That's good that your kids really enjoyed it. And, you know, that's a lasting impression on them as well. And hopefully they learn something from you and not only just running the store, but be like, hey, you can own a business and make it fun or do something you want to do or put family first. And you could be like, this is our family business. This is how you can turn something into something you want, not necessarily working to live.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And I think that it's one of those things we didn't set out to do that, but that if you're lucky and you're doing things right, sometimes that's the outcome. And I hope that's the case with us. Like I talked about earlier with how we want to make our customers feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a point of focus, but then day in, day out, if you just have to be doing it over and over and over again. And hopefully that message gets through that. Yeah, it's you work hard and you play hard and you treat people right. And there's rewards for that.
Yeah. I think you guys are doing a great job. So I know this is probably a question you probably get a lot. So how did you come up with the name Monkey's Uncle? Where did that originate from?
Interesting question. Yes. We have customers ask that actually, right from the jump, we had customers asking that. So we made a sign to put up in the store to answer the question. If we didn't have if we were busy doing something else and didn't have the chance to speak to them about it. But, my wife is Liz and my kids are Emmett and Nora, but, we were sitting around one evening before we opened 10 years ago. And we were with her mom and dad, Jim and Wheezy Gibson. And it was in the evening after dinner. And, you know, maybe a couple people had a couple glasses of wine. And we were brainstorming. We were headed in the direction we were headed, but we had made the commitment to open, but we did not have the name yet. And we were brainstorming, I guess, is the simplest way to put it. And when we got married, again, we lived in Chicago. Liz and I lived in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we, one of the stores that we liked to go to was called Uncle Fun, which was, as the name would suggest, a fun store. It was a little more novelty, a little more adult than what we do, but it was great. It had a great vibe in there, and people were smiling when you went in there, the customers and the staff. Mm-hmm. And we would just on a Saturday afternoon, that would be a place we'd wander into. So that was, we were kind of going along that line. And also, I'm the youngest of four, and my wife is also the youngest. So we were the last of our siblings to have children.
Yeah.
So we had a time as adults when we were the fun aunt and uncle. So when we showed up, we could just have fun with the kids without all the responsibility, which is a great time in life. So we were headed in that direction, and my mother-in-law, Wheezy, said the words monkey's uncle. And that was it. It's an old expression, I guess people used to say if they were kind of surprised or amused, they'll say, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Yeah. So we'll hear that on a regular basis. Even if people don't walk in the store, we'll hear visitors walk by the front door, which we try to always keep open, weather permitting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll just hear a gentleman say, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. So we thought it suited what we were trying to do. And we got a guy that I knew who's a professor at SCAD who did who teaches illustration there, named Ryan Sanchez. And he created our logo and the typeface, which, you know, on our signage and our bags and everything that says monkey's uncle. That's actually our children's handwriting. Ryan had me have them write monkey's uncle a bunch of times with a Sharpie. And then he, you know, he scanned it and picked the letters he liked best for the typeface. And so it's a nice little sort of family touch in the logo that's Emmett and Nora's handwriting.
Yeah, that's really cool that your kids are really a part of the business.
It is. It's nice. They don't work there. They both have, our son's Emmett's in college now, and Nora has been babysitting quite a lot lately, which has been good for her. Mm-hmm. So they've never been quote unquote on staff.
Yeah.
But they're a regular presence there, and they know what's going on there.
Yeah.
And in a pinch, they can wait on a customer or help out with inventory or that kind of thing. So, it's been nice. I guess one sort of reason for that was when I felt like while it was a career choice that allowed us to put family first, it's a business and it's 7 days a week. It's time consuming. So yeah. I felt like in terms of them working there, I liked the idea better of when I was away from work, they would also be away from work rather than me getting some time off and then them having to man the store. So, but yeah, they're there on a regular basis, as is my wife. And, you know, the folks that do work there, often a lot of our staff over the years have been people who sat for the kids when they were younger, or people we know from school, or that kind of thing. So it's we like to think it's just a very Buford-y place.
Yeah.
And hopefully people feel that when they walk in.
That's really cool. And I'll go back to what you said about the name. It's really cool that it's attention grabbing, even if someone doesn't come in or they're across the street. They see the name and like monkey's uncle, what in the world? Or they're like, they come in and they're like, oh, I have to see what this is about. I think you guys did a really good job of, you know, even if it wasn't your intentions, it's good marketing of, hey, let's give it this wild name and make people have to say, let me see what this is about.
Thank you. Yeah. I feel like it does that. And Ryan did a great job with the logo. Yes. Our little monkey is called Moo Moo, and we put him on all our stuff. So, yeah, like when people are walking down Bay Street, they're off. I mean, we love our local customers too, and they feel what we're trying to accomplish, I think. But the visitors who may not have been here before, like you said, they see the sign, they're in a good mood, they're on vacation, you know, maybe they just had a good lunch and everybody's laughing, and we just feel like we fit right into that process. So when they see the sign or see something goofy in the window or walk in and see, you know, we have a lot of new and sort of cutting edge, maybe overstating it, but you know, up-to-date toys, newly developed new products, but we also have a lot of stuff that would fit in the nostalgia category. Mm-hmm. And for grown-ups, we hear it a lot. They say, oh, I had one of those when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I think that fits into that feeling of being in a small town, being on vacation in the summertime. They just had ice cream. They just had, pizza, and they're with their family and they're relaxed. And it's just fun to be part of that.
Yeah. You kind of started to get into it with the toys, new and old. Could you kind of give us an overview of the store and, you know, what could be found in there?
Sure. We have baby gifts. Really all ages. We feel like we can accommodate with the right attitude. So we have, again, baby gifts, lots of books, lots of children's books, starting from, you know, very earliest levels. We have puzzles, a lot of jigsaw puzzles. We sell a lot of jigsaw puzzles, but all sorts of different toys. Again, we like to have, you know, retro stuff like Etch-a-Sketch or Stretch Armstrong or Spirograph, things like that. But also brand new things that we think are cool that we go to a show or we see with a sales rep and decide to bring on. A lot of that process involves, for us as a bricks and mortar store, we try to avoid overlap with the big box stores for several reasons. And also to be, you know, we always have to be aware of competition on the internet. And that kind of dovetails with what we were talking about earlier with the atmosphere in the store. I think that's part of why people who go out shopping still do that. They want an experience. They want to see somebody they know. They want to pick up something and they want to look through the book before they buy it or feel the toy or try to solve the brain puzzle.
Yeah.
And we are very open to that. We try to have demos out that people can put their hands on stuff and answer any questions they may have, help them pick a gift if they're so inclined, or just at least point them in the right direction. And I think sometimes it's fun. We do get people who are surprised that they find something for themselves, adults.
Yeah.
They may come in and sometimes they may have they may have mixed emotions. Dad may not want to get dragged into a toy store and 5 minutes later he's trying to solve a puzzle that we had sitting on the counter and it ends up having fun too. So a little something for everybody, we hope, but mostly for kids, of course.
Yeah, that's really good. I looked on your website and kind of got some ideas of stuff that I might want myself. I like to have a lot of office trinkets and stuff like that to kind of keep my hands busy when I'm not typing or if I'm, you know, sending out emails or listening to podcast episodes back. I like to, you know, put something in my hand, whether it's like a stress ball or I saw you guys had the metallic balls that you can like roll in your hands. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go down there and get some of those. So
I like that idea too, that I know that's true, that a lot of our customers, you know, a lot of the stuff, those kind of things in the store end up on somebody's desk at work and it helps them get through the work day and deal with the stress. So that's a good feeling. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah. And speaking of the toys, do you have a wide selection of toys that you regularly sell, or like how do you go through the process of buying these toys from certain like that seem like out of date? Like you said, the Stretch Armstrong, where would you, you know, go to get these toys?
That's a good question. And that's part of the work. We go to shows, the sort of convention and show market world has changed since 2020, of course, like a lot of things. So there used to be a big toy show in New York every February called Toy Fair. It didn't happen for a couple of years. And now there's going to be another one, but it's changed. It's going to be in the fall this year, which is a pretty big change for the industry. But we'll try to go to that. I often, at least once a year, typically go to Atlanta, go to the America's Mart in Atlanta and meet with several of my sales reps and do some buying there. One of the nice and unexpected things about the business is that I've made friends with several of the people, the sales reps that I buy from. And again, now it's been a number of years that I've known them and we work well together. They want to see my business succeed and I want to, you know, help them get where they're going. So it's when it's working as it should, it's kind of a partnership in that way. And they are able to put things in front of me that I may not see on my own, suggest things. I mean, they want to sell me something, but they also don't want to load me up with things that I can't sell.
Yeah.
So they kind of know my store, know my personality, and they try to pitch ideas to me or when they hear of something new that one of their lines is put out, they'll get it in front of me and suggest I take a look at it. So that's often how we get new and cool things. And then from time to time, there will be trends. like the you mentioned sort of fidget toys and that sort of stress relievers, that really got big late 2020 into 2021. Mm-hmm. And that was a trend that sort of struck a chord with me because I'm a fidgeter. I'm always clicking pens and tapping my feet and that sort of thing. So when those, when that happened, it made sense to me. And the customers, the kids at that time really reacted to it. And my sales reps, the people I do business with on the back end, knew to call me or email me or text me when they had something new that was coming in. Cause it was kind of wild at the time when, cause companies were coming up with new, they were competing, you know, to hit that trend, and they were coming up with pretty interesting things. So that was fun. And again, I rely on my relationships with those sales reps to help me keep the store fresh, keep putting new and interesting things in front of my customers, because that's what they expect. And we don't want it to be, we want it to feel comfortable and familiar, but not the same every time. We want to keep cycling in new things to give them something that they may not have seen before.
Yeah, that's really interesting for me, being someone outside of the toy world, looking into it, because I've been a kid, and you knew what was popular when you were a kid. When I was in high school, bracelets, the animal bracelets were popular. And then like another 10 years passed, and now the fidget spinners were popular.
Yep.
So it's always something that comes in as a trend, and it's like, oh my God, everyone's selling these, everyone's buying them in bulk. And it must be really good for you guys, because you just feel like, oh, let me, you know, get as much as I can. And then people are going to come and get them and buy them and love them.
It's happened a couple times, several times in the 10 years, that kind of trend that you mentioned, the fidget spinners, which was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. That was pretty wild at the time. I remember one Friday afternoon, I actually bought a case of those out of the trunk of a guy's car out in front of the store on Bay Street. A guy, a sales rep who I'd never met before, the demand was so high at that time.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure, I wanted the ones that I bought to be actually good. I don't mm-hmm. want to sell my customers things that aren't going to work or fall apart in 10 minutes. So
yeah.
He came in to talk to me and told me what was going on. And it was just one of those unique situations during that kind of a high demand. And I was coming up on the weekend and I was out of them.
Yeah.
And I knew that, you know, I would have a bunch of 10-year-olds coming in the store being like, where are the fidget spinners, man? So I bought a box of them out of the trunk of his car.
That's really good that you can get them in such a pinch situation like that.
That was an extreme example, but it helped out. And that's, I guess, maybe just part of my personality or something. Of course, I want to make money and the business to be successful, but I just didn't want to face the kids all weekend with no fidget spinners.
Yeah, not the cool monkeys.
that wasn't the image we were trying to project.
Yeah. So has there been a trend that has come out, or something like a popular toy that you didn't think would be popular, or something that we were like, I don't know if this is going to sell, and then it like sold like hotcakes right off the shelves? Anything that come to your mind?
I guess, like I said, the fidget stuff wasn't a surprise to me. When I started to see it, it made sense to, it was something that I would have on my desk. In fact, I do have on my desk. So that didn't, sometimes an individual item, like right now we have, I carry a line called Douglas, which makes really great stuffed animals, plush, mm-hmm. they call them. And we do a lot of dogs and cats from them, which customers really like. A lot of people, you know, will come in and they'll see a dog that looks just like their golden retriever or their dachshund or whatever it is, and then fall in love. But Douglas came out, it's a very good company, but they came out this year with some that are like a stuffed snail, a stuffed banana slug, things you might not expect as a traditional stuffed animal. And I was a little skeptical, but I rely on the staff. I show them the catalogs. I have the sales reps, when they come into the store, talk to them too. Mm-hmm. And they will tell me what they think. And they really reacted to that stuff. And we brought some in and it's done really well. And I might not have ordered it without asking or without, but they were like, oh yeah, this is great. So that kind of thing I do. And we rely on customers too. You know, customers will make suggestions. And of course we observe how they react to what we do bring in.
Yeah.
But also sometimes they will ask about specific questions. Like for example, once a game we still carry called Tenzi, which is a great little family dice game mm-hmm. that we've sold since the beginning. Well, since almost the beginning, because when we opened in the summer of 2013, I had not heard of it. And again, I was new. I was still learning what I was doing, and customers would ask for it by name. And it was fairly new at that time, but it's the kind of game, and there's several like this for us, that if a family comes to the beach and they left theirs at home, if they forgot to throw it in the car when they were leaving town, yeah, they'll come in and buy it just to have it for the week.
That's good.
Because it's what they want to do after dinner or whatever, when they get out of the sun on the beach and just have a little fun in the beach house. So Tenzi is one of those games, and we still sell it on a regular basis.
Yeah. I was going to say, summer and vacationing, it's the perfect time to get a board game, or, you know, like you said, with people forgetting board games, same thing with, they'll forget like a kid's favorite plushie or toy, and they can come buy a snail or like a slug at the store.
Yeah, that's right.
So
it's funny. We often hear when a family will come in, a parent will say, "You're not getting any more stuffed animals." And then about 10 or 15 minutes later, they're leaving and the child has another stuffed animal. It could be hard to hold the line on that one.
Yeah. And that's what I think it's so good. Like, you guys offer such a wide variety of different things. It's not like buying the exact same thing over and over when you buy it online, or when you go to a big market store like Walmart and it has the same toys and stuff. You guys are a unique, specific base that offer something you can't just go to the store and get.
We hope so. That's what we do work at it. And I know it's not just intuition. I hear it explicitly from customers that's, they like that. They expect it. So we try.
Yeah. And before we let you go, just two follow-up questions. What's the most impactful interaction you've had with a customer? Whether it's someone, you know, they were 10 years old when they first came in and now they're 20, or they gave you a good story of, you know, they remember, or anything like that, anything that you remember that really sticks with you?
Yeah, gosh, that's a good question. We have a lot. We have a lot of very special customers. One person in particular that made me think of is a local, a Beaufortonian, a friend of my mother-in-law's who will remain nameless for the moment, but her grandkids are getting a little older now, so she's not in quite as often as she was in the past. But there was a time when she would come in and she would have a lot on her to-do list that day. But fortunately for us, coming into the store to shop for the grandkids was on the list. But she wouldn't always remember to bring her checkbook. So when it came time to ring her up, she would go looking through her bag and realize she didn't have the checkbook. So we just tell her, that's okay. And she would send her husband by later to bring the check for the total.
Yeah.
And she'd take her toys with her. And it was no big deal. It was just it made me smile, and it just made me feel like that's the kind of thing that, you know, not just for her, but for us, that it was fun. It was just had a personal small town feel to it. And, like a family business, the kind of thing, you know, there's a lot of things you can't do, you know, as a small business that, financially and otherwise, but, little things like that, when you can do them, it's just makes it fun.
Yeah. And it makes it personable. You know, not only did you guys make memories with her, but she's made memories with you guys. Yep. So it sticks both sides, and same with her grandkids. They'll remember grandmother and her checkbook and things like that.
So, that's right.
Well, this has been a great episode, Joe. I really appreciate you coming. If you could tell the listeners where they can find you, whether like you can give them your brick and mortar, where that's at in Beaufort, and then your social medias.
Yes, absolutely. We're at 909 Bay Street, right there on Bay in historic downtown Beaufort. And please check us out on social media, on Facebook and Instagram. We have some people who help us with that who do a great job, and I couldn't do it without them. So hopefully that's a source of information and once in a while entertainment as well for our customers.
Thanks for joining us on the podcast, Joe. If you enjoyed this episode, you can visit Monkey's Uncle and the other local shops during the First Friday Festival on the first Friday of every month. The next festival is August 5th. You can also go on our website at BeaufortSC.org/events for more information on upcoming events happening in our area. Well, thank you guys for listening to the Intercoastal Podcast. You can follow us on social media at @visit_BeaufortSC on Instagram or at @BeaufortSC on Facebook. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review. We'll talk to y'all next time. This has been another episode of the Intercoastal Podcast, hosted by Daquan Mickens and the team at Visit Beaufort, Port Royal in the Sea Islands, produced by Relic.